Ephesians chapter 3. So just stay in this atmosphere, in this attitude of the unending love of God. And I just believe that you guys are going to be blessed by this as you receive. The Holy Spirit is wanting to minister some things to us as a church, to us as a people this morning. And so in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints." Again, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints, that's you, with all saints, you may be able to comprehend what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, goes beyond anything that we could possibly imagine, goes beyond anything that we could possibly conceive in our own mind, that the love of Christ, it goes beyond what you think it is. That is good as, I mean, we're a church that absolutely declares the goodness of God. We're a church that absolutely believes in the goodness, the overflowing goodness and grace of God. But as good as we think that we've discovered his goodness, as good as we think that we've discovered his love, I mean, it has transformed my life. It has transformed Jennifer's life. To continue to walk from glory to glory and to experience his goodness every single day, it's unlike anything that we thought was possible. That as good as all that is, it's still so much better. We still can't comprehend his love towards us. We still don't get it. We still don't grasp it. That's why it takes every one of us. That's what it says, why with all saints, that we may be able to comprehend. You know, because as you know, we experience God at a level, and then we come across somebody that experienced him at a totally different level. You know, I went to as a pastor friend of mine, Lawson Perdue in Colorado Springs. And they've been believing God for a new building and you know, to get out of the place because they've outgrown it and that sort of thing. And so a few years ago, the Lord told them to start setting back 20% money, you know, of everything that came in for the building. And so they started saving. But they all were also looking at every piece of property, God is so good. Every piece of property, every building that they looked at, something fell through, something wasn't right, whatever. And they're just like, when is it going to happen? When is it going to happen? But I'm going to continue to be obedient to God. God was just setting them up. You know, God tells you things to do because he's setting you up. He's setting you up to be able to experience his best. He's setting you up to experience his glory. You know, I can choose to live my own way. I can choose to disobey God. I can choose not to be led by the Holy Ghost. I can choose to live for myself. I can choose to live through my own self-effort. I can choose to live by my own selfish desires or whatever that is. And God will let me do that. He's that good that he's given me the free will to live my own life. But he says, I have a path for you. I want to set you up so that you can experience something beyond what you can do for yourself. I want to set you up so that you can experience what I can only do for you. When you're a child of God, you're a joint heir with Jesus Christ. You have access to all of heaven's resources. You have access to spiritual flow in your life. You have access to the Holy Ghost, and out of your belly will flow rivers of living water that's going to take you from glory to glory to glory. That's the life for the believer right now. And so Just last year, a year ago, Lawson, I mean, they're praying about it. And there was a guy in his church that the Lord woke up in the middle of the night and said, I want you to start looking for a building. And he thought he was looking for a building for his own business. And he came across this building that had just been put up for auction that they wanted to do a fast sell on. And it wasn't really made open to the public. And the Lord said, that's Lawson's building. And so he called Lawson and said, Lawson, I found your building. The Lord said, this is the building. And so they went and looked at it, and they believed it was God. Now, they had saved by this time $5 million. So that's what they had in the bank. See, so God's setting them up. So we went in November. Lawson said, you got to come and look at this thing. They ended up making the offer, the auction, $5 million. They won it. People were upset. His real estate agent that was looking for him didn't want him to know about it because he had another deal in the works on this building. Even when people try to cut you out of a deal, even when people, when God's declared it, when God's made it, he will get it to you. Glory to God. And so they went in. This building is worth $45 million. It's in the growing section of town. They got it. When they walked in, it had $500,000 worth of an industrial kitchen already working, already finished. And I'm telling you, I walked in. I've been around a lot of churches. I have never seen a building this nice that you are able to get for $5 million that's worth $45 million. God was just saying, look, Lawson, I know where you need to be. I know where I'm going to take you. Just do what I say. But what if a few years ago he said, you know, I can't afford to save 20%. I'd rather do this. I'd rather do that with it. Well, then he wouldn't have been in position to experience what God was really wanting him to bless him with. I walked out of that thing. I just started crying. I started crying, not because he got it and I didn't. I started crying because God is so good. So amazing. And he's not a respecter of persons. He has a plan for each and every one of us. And so, you know, while I may have been limited in my thinking with what God could do in our lives. Oh, so here's what happened. Check this out. So they looked at the building. They said, we believe that God wants us to have this building. So the following Sunday, the goodness of God, the following Sunday, they didn't tell any, they weren't talking about it. They didn't want anybody to find out about it. And so, you know, when you're trying to make that kind of a decision, there might be some questions. When you're about to write a check for $5 million, you won't make sure you've heard from God. In the middle of praise and worship, a guy in their church that is a prophet that flows in the prophetic, got up, came up, and said, the Lord's given me a word. And so he began to prophesy. And the Lord said, in the middle of the prophecy, and I, Jesus. Now this guy, first of all, this guy had no idea of what had just transpired the week before. And he starts saying, I, Jesus, have closed every door to property and to buildings because it wasn't time. But I tell you that now the door is open. Go through and buy the building. Had no idea what just happened. Ah, oh, and it is the most amazing thing. So what happened is where maybe we can be limited in our thinking about just how good God can be for us. Maybe he just wants me to experience a little blessing, or maybe more than this, that all of a sudden that you'll get connected with somebody else where God just overflowed in their lives, and you see, I mean, it's beyond anything that you could ask or think, and you're like, wow, he is so much better than I thought that he could be. And so I begin to grasp as I connect with Lawson or as I connect with you guys that together we begin to to get a little bit of a glimpse into the depth and the width and the breadth and the height of just how good God is and just how much He loves us and just how much He wants to do in our life if we'll just yield to Him and give Him that opportunity. It says here, it says that we would know together the love of Christ which passes knowledge, and that you might be filled. He wants you to be filled. He wants you to be full and overflowing of the fullness of God. The fullness of God. To be full. Man, to be full. Not just full in here, but to be filled in every area of your life. Your finances should be filled with the fullness of God. Your family should be filled with the fullness of God. Your prayer life should be filled with the fullness of God. Your children should be filled with the fullness of God. Everything that concerns you, it should be filled with the fullness of God. That's why Jesus came, so that we might experience His life, so that we might experience His joy, so that we might experience His goodness. That's why He said in John chapter 10, verse 10, the thief comes not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. And, you know, traditionally, and you know, we say that that's talking about the devil. And the devil is as a roaring lion who goes around seeking whom he may devour. So I'm not taking away from that. But there are other things in your life that can be a thief. Yeah, that's right. Facebook. Can be a thief. It can rob you of your time. It can mess you up. It can get you all upset. I mean, there are other things. There are other hobbies. There are other things. There are other people that can really come in to try to steal your time, steal your money, steal your time with your family, steal your time with God, you know, and distract you from those things. And ultimately, it's designed to steal, to kill, and to destroy, so that you won't experience the life that God has for you. But Jesus said, I have come that you might have life, which means that really, I mean, to begin with, what most of us live isn't life. We just exist. We're going through the motions over and over and over again. We're not really living life. And so first of all, life is found in Him. And so to live that life, He said, I've come that you might live that life, and that you might have it more abundantly. Man, praise God for the goodness of God. And so when you get a hold of the fact that we're to be filled with the fullness of God, that we're to know the love of Christ, now unto Him that is able. Now unto Him that is able. You got to first of all look at God as a God that wants to restore you, a God that wants to do more for you than you want to do for yourself, that He's not waiting for you to get yourself right so that He can work in your life, but He's made you right, and you just need to receive so that He can work in your life. Praise God. Yes. Now unto Him that is able. God has the ability. I almost just walked right off, and that would have been exciting. He is able, and Jennifer would have laughed. She wouldn't have got up to have helped me. He is able to keep me from falling. Praise God. Now unto God who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you can ask or think. Look at that. Now unto Him. And so where's the focus? The focus is on Him. The focus is on His power. The focus is on His love. The focus is, when we really get an idea of how much God loves us, how much our Father loves us, then our eyes begin to be open to the power that's made available to us. Every good thing, every perfect thing, now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Now, what power is working in you? Well, go to Ephesians chapter 1. What power is right there available to you right at this moment? Paul prayed this He said in verse 17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. The eyes of your understanding, being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling. Stop there for a second. What is the hope of His calling? Not what is your calling, what is His calling to you? I just concluded a series on Wednesday night, Romans chapter 8. It took me 8 weeks to go through that chapter. It's one of the most amazing things that I've been able to do and see. So powerful. You'll never read that chapter in the same way if you listen to that. Hold your finger there and go to Romans 8. And I want to show you one scripture here that, again, where the focus is. In verse 29, well, let's go back to verse 28 because I want you to see it in context. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Now don't mistake this. This doesn't mean that everything in your life is from God. And that you're supposed to just learn something from it, because that's what religion teaches you. That's what tradition teaches you, that you're going through a difficult time. Well, you know, brother, all things work together for the good. And God's causing you to go through this trial and go through this difficult so that you may learn something that is good. That's not what He's talking about. What He's talking about is that it don't matter what situation you are in. It don't matter what you find yourself in, because God is with you. He's going to make it turn out for your good. In other words, I'm not trying to work it on myself. I'm not trying to make it happen by myself. That God, He said in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, He says, I will never leave you, nor will I forsake you. I will not relax my hold on you. Assuredly not. I will not in any way give you up. And so we may boldly say, the Lord is my help. What shall I fear that men shall do unto me? And so what the idea here, even in Psalm 23, when it says that the Lord is my shepherd, is that we have got to live life with this understanding and with this awareness that that God is right there in us. He's right there with us, that He is not distant from us. He's not looking to see what you're going to do. He's not going to say, hey, get it right. He said, I am here. My power is available. I'm ready to cause everything to turn for your good. Praise God. All right. Not that He caused the bad times, not that He caused somebody to do something to you, but when somebody tries to step over you to get a promotion, when somebody tries to stab you in the back on your job, when somebody is coming against you, then they're saying all manner of evil against you and they're just cussing you out or whatever. God says it don't matter what they do. If God be for us, who can be against us? I'm right here. My plans for your life, my destiny for your life will not be set aside if you won't stop believing that, if you won't start trying to do it on you, if you won't start questioning it, if you won't live with regret, if you won't live with guilt, if you won't live thinking that you're not worthy of these things. Look, all things work together for the good to them that love God. To them that are called according to His purpose. Now look at verse 29. For whom He did foreknow. Now He's talking about you. Whom He did, He knew before the foundation of the world. Is what He's talking about. Those He did, those He did predestinate. I talked about this for the last 2 weeks on Wednesday nights, but so I'm going to make it real short here. And so this is where people get confused about predestination, you know. And so some people will believe that predestination is that there are some of us that are predestined to be saved, and there are others that aren't. And so, you know, you better hope that you're one of those that God called to predestinate to be saved. That's not what he's talking about. Because the Bible says that it is the will of God that every person be saved. So you can't make that difference. You can't say there's some that are supposed to be saved and some that aren't if the Word of God says it's God's will that every person to be saved. Now, just because it's his will doesn't mean everybody will be. Because when God has a desire, you know, I have a desire, I have a will for my children. I have a will for my son who happens to be in Germany on his missions trip right now. So we're so thankful for that. But I have a will for him. But, you know, sometimes he just don't do what I tell him to do. I know it's hard to believe about Seth. And so he walks outside of my will, but it doesn't change my desire for him. But he doesn't experience my desire for him. Well, God's the same way. We're his children. He has a desire. He has a will for us. But sometimes people just don't choose to walk in that and don't experience that. Now, here it says that those he knew before the foundation of the world, Ephesians 1 says, before the foundation of the world, he knew us, he called us. He also did predestinate, and what that simply means is he gave you a destiny. What is that destiny? Well, you know, sometimes we'll talk about the destiny. Well, you know, God's got an amazing destiny, and we'll be very general about that. God's got an amazing, brother, God's got an amazing destiny for you. Isn't that great? Noah, God's got an amazing destiny. Wendy, God's got an amazing destiny. You know, and that's great. That's wonderful. What is it? I'm looking forward to it. I'd love to figure it out. And so we get very general about that. Well, here he says that God did he gave you a destiny to be conformed to the image of his son. Amen. Whatever you think Jesus lived like, whatever you think he is, or whoever you think he is, or you know, whatever his financial situation looked like in your mind, whatever his body situation looked like in your mind, whatever, you know, however he lived life and however he is, because the Bible says, as he is, so are we in this world. God gave you a destiny to be conformed into his image. Amen. Yes, he did. If there's anything in your life that doesn't conform to the image of Christ, you need to look at that thing and say, you've got a destiny to be like Christ. You need to look at your child and say, you've got a destiny to be like Christ. You need to look at your finances and say, finances, you've got a destiny to line up with the riches of glory that is in Christ Jesus. That is my destiny. Glory to God. Everything. If you're dealing with hurt, if you're dealing with wounds, Jesus said, I've come to heal the brokenhearted. And here's an area before we move on that the Lord really talked to me about yesterday. So I'm going to pause here and I want you to listen to me very closely. Many, many people live their life not truly receiving forgiveness. Oh, they'll say, yes, I know that I'm forgiven, but yet they'll still live with the guilt and the shame, or they'll live with regret. The Bible says in Romans chapter 5, verse 17, that those that receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness, those are the ones that will rule and reign in life through Jesus Christ. You were created, you are designed to dominate in this earth, to be victorious in your life, to experience the victory that comes, and it comes only from Jesus Christ. You were designed to be a king, to live in a kingdom and under the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, but for you not to be dominated by life, but for you to dominate. God created us from the very beginning in Genesis chapter 1 and verses 26 through 28 says, let man have dominion over the face of the earth. You were created to be a conqueror. You were created not to be conquered. Amen. You were created to be a victor. You were not created to be a victim. Amen. And people will live their lives with regret. Live their lives not receiving forgiveness. They live their lives, they can't forgive themselves. Let me quickly talk to you about a few different people. Joseph. In Genesis chapter 39 or so, Joseph, here he is. He has a dream. And that dream says, all of your brothers are going to bow down to you one day. You're going to rule over them. And so Joseph was so excited to know that he was going to rule over his brothers, he went and told them. I don't know about you, but if I told that to my brothers and sisters, that I would not, it would not be well received. And so they got jealous of Joseph. And so because of his big mouth, they ended up selling him into slavery. Selling him into slavery. The dream had died. He went into a country he could not even speak the language. Think about that. That's a great time to say in that moment, God, where are you? God, what about the dream? God, but we don't have any indication that he was crying to God about these things. What we pick up the story in Genesis 39 and we find that he was bought as a slave, and instead of complaining about being a slave and being owned by somebody else, what he did is the favor of God was still on him. He still served God. He still loved God. And the blessing of God was there, that all of a sudden, that even in that situation as a slave that could not speak the language, he learned the language. God raised him up. And all of a sudden, the person that he was under, Potiphar, God raised him up and he was over the whole house. God blessed him. God blessed him. I don't care where you end up. I don't care who does you wrong. I don't care what happens in your life, that when God's on your side, ain't nobody going to be able to keep you down. But if you will not receive, if you will not believe, if you will not trust in the goodness of God, if that part that says that he'll never let you down. He'll never let you down. When we talked about the king of my heart, you'll never let me down. You've got to be so convinced. This is what Jennifer and I have discovered. You've got to be so convinced that God is so good. God is that good that there's not a single situation. I don't care if it looked like he let you down. I don't care if you've said, where is God in this? Why did my marriage fail? Why did this? None of that. See, we live our lives with questions instead of saying, God, you are so good, and from this day forward, I am going to trust in your love for me. I'm going to trust in your goodness for me, that you're going to turn everything around. Yes, I made mistakes. Yes, I messed up. Yes, I'm the cause of this, and I did that, and all of that. You can confess your faults one to another, the Bible says. You confess your faults, you embrace it, you say, this is what happened, absolutely. But that's not who God created me to be. God created me to be somebody different. I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And so Joseph, here he is, he's blessed. He's now over. Things are looking up. Things are looking good. And so he's living a better life. And maybe he hadn't even thought about the dream anymore, but he's just being blessed by God. And then somebody lies. When he wouldn't sleep with his master's wife, then she lied about him. And as a result of it, because he kept his integrity, your integrity, integrity, integrity on your job. Integrity in your life. God sees what you do. Ain't nobody going to stop God from doing what he has planned for your life. God is that good. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Can we just give him praise right now? Thank you, Father, for being so good. He can restore all things. We're going to talk about that and how that happens. God is so good. So here he is. He gets thrown into jail. The lowest of the lowest, the jail, the political prison of the day. And so it looked like he took many steps forward, but then fell all the way back. A little bit further up, but then fell further. He had a reason to complain. He had a reason to say, where's the dream? He probably many times said, I wish I had not opened my mouth. He probably many times said, I wish I hadn't have done this. He probably lived with regret to some degree. But then in a moment, I mean, God elevated him. God blessed him, put him over the prison because he continued. He didn't live with bitterness. He didn't live with hurt. He didn't live in the past. He moved forward in the situation that he is. Understand this, child of God. God says, I am that I am, not I was that I was. God isn't sitting back there in your past. As a matter of fact, in 1 Samuel chapter 16, hold your finger there. I'm just going to go to this. 1 Samuel chapter 16, God had set up a king. His name was Saul. And Saul did not follow after God. And so God needed somebody in leadership that was going to follow after him. And so God rejected Saul from becoming king. God had used the prophet Samuel to set Saul up. And Samuel loved Saul. Samuel had failed with his kids. His kids could not take over his ministry. His kids were wicked and evil. Samuel did not do a good job as a father. And maybe he questioned where he went wrong, or maybe he regretted some of that. And so Saul was kind of that redemption for him. Saul was the guy that God said, he's going to be king. He's going to take your place. And so Samuel loved Saul. And then when God rejected Saul from being king, in verse 1 here, the Lord said unto Samuel, how long will you mourn for Saul, seeing that I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and go. I'm going to send you to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king among his sons. Listen what God is telling Saul. Get over it. Get over your past. Get over your mistakes. Get over what you've done wrong. Get over what you thought that I was doing in that moment. Get over all of that. Right now, what I need you to do is fill your horn with oil. Fill up on the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is right here in the now. The Bible says today, if you hear his voice, not go on yesterday. You need to hear the voice of God today. Move forward with your life. God is the restorer of every dream. God is the restorer of every calling. And so here's Samuel trying to, he's mourning. He's wanting to stay with the old. He's wanting to stay with what Saul had done. He's wanting to, you know, is there God saying, move with me. Go with me. I got a better thing happening. I'm going to set up an everlasting kingdom through David. It's going to be awesome. David wasn't his first choice, but because David had a heart after God, David's the one that ended up having the established kingdom. And so there you go. You have Joseph in prison, that because he continued to serve God, he continued to love God, he continued to live and was blessed by God, that in a moment's time, in one moment, he couldn't have predicted it. He couldn't have made it happen. He couldn't have worked it out. As a matter of fact, there was a dream that he interpreted for somebody that worked under Pharaoh. And he said, look, when you get back up there, please tell Pharaoh about me. He was trying to work his political connections. He said, I've helped you. I've scratched your back. Please scratch my back. I'm down here. I don't deserve to be here. And do you know, it was still years after that, him trying to do it on his own, him trying to work it out on his own, that still didn't work out. But in one moment, God had set him up. God had caused him to be blessed, and he was now made second ruler over the entire world. And everything came to pass that God had showed him. I'm telling you, if you'll hold on to your dream, if you'll hold on to your vision, but if you'll hold on to the goodness of God in your life, he will work everything out for your good. Everything out for your good. Peter was a guy that denied the Lord three times. Messed up, cut a guy's ear off, was aiming for his head, but got his ear as the guy ducked. I mean, Peter was a messed up dude. But after Jesus' resurrection, Jesus came to him. Peter, do you love me? Lord, you know I love you. Then do this, feed my sheep. Peter, do you love me? Lord, you know I love you. Then take care of my sheep. Peter, do you love me? And the Bible says he was grieved because he asked him a third time, like he didn't believe him. Lord, you know that I love you. Feed my sheep. What was Jesus doing? He was restoring him to what he had called him to do. He was saying, I'm not thinking about Peter. I'm not thinking about when you denied me one, two, and three times. I'm not looking at that person. I see you through who I've created you to be. I see you through your calling. I see you through your future. I see you through your destiny. So let me talk. Jesus never said, see, Peter, I told you were going to deny me. Aren't you glad that God is not an I told you so God? He didn't say, I told you. He never acknowledged. He never talked to Peter about his sin. He always talked to him about his destiny. Many times we regret. We live in the past. What are areas that we regret? We regret sometimes how we raised our children. Man, I was a terrible mom. I failed as a mom, or I failed as a dad. I failed. I should have done this. I should have done that. I should have, you know. I'm going to tell you, every parent in here will tell you, there is no perfect parent, and you do not make perfect choices every single time. Parenting is a learning process for the parent and the child. We get to learn. We get to live. We get to grow together. We get to be heirs together of the grace of God. We're going to make mistakes in life. Maybe you weren't the perfect husband. Maybe you weren't the perfect wife. Maybe something that you did, or maybe you're divorced, or maybe you're on your second or your third marriage, and you live with a regret of your relationship. You live with the regret that I should have done this, I should have done that. And so you won't receive forgiveness for yourself. You won't forgive yourself because of your choices. God has already forgiven you, but until you will truly receive that for yourself, instead of being, you know, I'm not worthy of God's goodness, I'm not worthy of His blessing, I've messed up here, I'm not worthy to have... A lot of people, because of their mistakes, they'll feel like they're not worthy to live a good life, that they've got to be punished or not experience a good life because of all the mistakes that they've made. God's taking care of that. Look at this. Let's go back to Romans. Let's go back to Romans chapter 8. God was telling Samuel there, He said, let it go. Let it go. I almost want to sing the song. Let it go. Let it go. Some of you this morning, you're going to have to let some stuff go, because you're living in the past instead of looking towards the now and the future. God says, I am that I am. He says in verse 29, for whom He did foreknow, He predestinated, gave a destiny to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn, Jesus, among many brethren. Look at this. Moreover, verse 30, whom He did predestinate, whom He gave a destiny to, them He also called. So, first of all, God created your destiny for you. This is so awesome. But not only did He create that destiny for you to try to figure it out and discover it on your own, now He's calling you into that destiny. God is saying, come in to the place that I have called you to live. Come in to my goodness. Come in to what I have, to be like my Son Jesus. Come in and be conformed to that image. Come and experience my love for you. I'm calling you into that. And we say, but I don't think that I can do everything you've asked me to do, Lord. I don't think that I can make it right. I keep messing up. I keep, I'm dealing with sin. I'm dealing with addiction. I just don't know that I can do what you've asked me to do. I'm going to fail every single time. You know, because I'm just a sinner. I can't do it. And so you go through these cycles of making promises to God because you feel that you want to live after Him, but you keep falling short of what you promised Him you would do. And you fall short and you fall short, and then depression sets in because you can't live the life that God has for you. And you've tried and I would love to walk in this destiny. I would love to answer the call, but I just never can measure up. I just never can do enough. And I did this and I did this. And how many times have I failed? And how many times have I promised? And how many times have I broken those promises? And the cycle goes on. And God said, you don't get it. You didn't finish reading the verse. I did create a destiny for you. And I have called you into that destiny. But I'm not expecting you to obtain that destiny on your own and work out that destiny by yourself. He says, He says, them that he also called, those that he called, them he also justified. What does that mean? It means that every sin, every mistake, every trespass, God has taken care of, God removed, Jesus took the judgment for that. Yeah, but you don't know what I did in my marriage. You don't know how I messed that up. Thank God that Jesus took all of that. He knows it all. He took it all so that you could be a new creation in Christ Jesus. Praise God. The Bible says that God is faithful, that his mercy is new every morning. When I make a mistake today, tomorrow morning when I make up, I can say, Father, I thank you for your mercy. It's brand new. I thank you for your grace, and I'm going to live out of who you created me to be. God, you are in me, the Bible says, both to will, you're creating your desire, and to do. He justified. He made you righteous. He's not looking at your performance. He's not looking at what you did. He's not holding over your head your past sins. But you have got to let it go and stop living in it and stop holding it over your own head. The devil will accuse you to you. And you can live your life with regret. You can wish that you had not done this. You can wish every one of us, okay, anybody here that has done everything perfect and has nothing that they could be have regret for, would you please raise your hand? My mother-in-law just raised her hand. And that may be a true statement. The goodness of God. My mother-in-law is getting ready to move from the house that they built in 1973. Did not want to put the house on the market. She's just moving next door to the house that my father-in-law grew up in. And they're remodeling that house, but she don't need this big old house. The goodness of God. Think about this. She says, Mark, I'm ready to sell the house. Come up and do whatever we need to do. I said, okay, I'll come up on Saturday. And she says, you know what? Somebody just contacted me. They want to come look at the house. Not even on the market. Some contractor told somebody who told somebody, hey, this house is going to be for sale. I said, all right, we'll come up there. We went up there. They came look at the house. They said, how much you want for it? I told them. And they said, okay. So within an hour, we signed the contract, and it's a done deal. Now, she'll be out of the house on May 31st. I mean, you're talking about you can't outdo the goodness of God. I mean, you didn't have to stress over it, didn't have to pray. I mean, it just happened just like that. It's awesome. I forgot where I was. Oh, my mother-in-law is perfect. hey, that's brownie points right there. So, we all have things that we could be a victim. We could blame anybody for who, listen to me, by the Holy Ghost, listen to me right now. There are plenty of people in your life that you can blame for where you are right now. You can blame for a parent for divorcing and leaving you. You could blame a parent for abusing you. You can blame people for taking advantage of you. You can blame people at your job for doing you wrong. You can blame people. You can, listen, any one of us can make an excuse for why we are right here, and the world would say you're justified in it. And we have more anger and more people that are accusing each other in our nation right now than ever any time in our history. And we look to other people as the reason why we are where we are. And I'm going to tell you, if you're a believer, that with God on your side, you better not blame anybody else for where you are right now. It is time to receive the goodness. It is time to forgive. It is time to let that go. Yes, what they did was wrong. Yes, what they did, you know, was terrible. But guess what? You're not the only one that's experienced abuse by the hands of others. You're not the only one that's been walked over, that's been cursed, that's been done wrong to. People can be a victim and live their life that way because they never learn how to let go and how to forgive. But God is merciful to the just and the unjust. God causes rain to come down on the good and the bad. God is loving towards all. And so you need to learn to be loving towards that person that did you wrong. Forgive. Let it go. Because they're not why you're where you are today. Because if you'll receive who God is in you, you're a new creation in Christ Jesus. And God don't make no junk. God don't make no victims. God makes victors. God does it right every single time. Stop living out of an old identity, an old mindset, who you used to be. Paul said in Philippians chapter 3, this one thing that I do. He says, I don't count myself to have apprehended. He recognizes I've still got to be conformed to the image of his dear son. I'm still working some things out in my life. Yes, in my spirit, man, I am made perfect, but I want to experience that in every area. He said, but I tell you one thing I figured out. I am going to let those things go from behind. I let go of the past. I forget those things behind me. And it's a good thing that he did. Why? Because he killed people. He murdered Christians. He put them in jail. He had them beaten. It's a good thing that he learned how to let that go. He could have lived his whole life saying, I am unworthy to even be called into the gospel. He could have lived his whole life just coming to church and just being there and saying, I can't lead anybody because I killed Christians. But he learned about the grace of God. He learned about the righteousness of God. He said, my name was Saul, but God has changed me. And so now my name is Paul. I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Glory to God. I'm not going to even respond to the old life. I'm not going to think the old way. Now the grace of God that's in me is causing me to live the life that he had planned for me. And because he was able to let it go, he says, I press toward the mark of the high calling in Christ Jesus. Yes, you've made mistakes. Yes, you've messed up. You can talk to somebody and say, look, I messed up. Embrace it. That's who I was. But now I am the righteousness of God in Christ. And embrace the new you. Praise God. And so it says, let's pull that scripture back up. And I'm going to try to bring this to a close. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, he justified, he wiped clean, he got rid of your past. Now you've got to get rid of your past. I want to stay on that. You have got to receive forgiveness. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. Gave you that. Jesus said, the same glory that I have, Father, give to them. He's given you the same power. He's given you the same glory. Praise God. And so it says in verse 31, what then shall we say if God gave me a destiny? And if God called me into that destiny, and then God justified me and made me able to live out that destiny. And then he gave me the glory and the power and everything that I need to fulfill that destiny. Then what shall I say to all of these other things in my life? If God be for us, who can be against us? Amen. It is all about what God has done for us. Child of God, get a hold of it. We have got to stop living in our own regret, in our own inability, in our own mess, in our own screw-ups, in our own, you know, we got to stop living that life, and we got to say, God, thank you for being the restorer of all things. Think about the prodigal son. He asks his dad for his inheritance. He goes to the place where he spends all of his inheritance to the point that I'm telling you, if my brother or my sister or whatever, they took their part of their inheritance and they left and they went and my brother went and just used it on prostitutes and gambled it all away and all of that, I'm not going to feel very good about that. And he didn't feel very good about himself. And he found himself at the bottom of the pit and he says, you know what? I could at least become a servant. I can at least go back to my daddy's house. And get a hold of this. When he came back to his dad, to his father. His father's looking for him, been looking. His father maybe didn't even know exactly where he was, but he's looking for him. And he went running out and grabbed his son that had been wallowing in pig slop, literally. And so his son starts rehearsing what he had planned to say to his dad. Dad, I've messed up. I've sinned before you. I've sinned before heaven and before earth. I've sinned and I've, you know, and all of this. And so in the middle of it, his dad's saying, come, bring the best robe, put on him. Bring a ring and put on him. And dad, I'm so sorry for everything. And let's go ahead and kill the fatted calf. So the son is thinking one track and trying to be so sincere and saying, can I just be a servant? And the whole time, the father's thinking completely different. Let's have a party. Let's restore him to relationship. Let's restore his inheritance. Let's get him back because my son who was dead is now alive. This, he wasn't even thinking servant. He wasn't even thinking you need to waller. You need to. He was saying you need to come back into fellowship. I'm your father. You're my son. Now act like it. You're not no servant. You're a son of the Most High God. Your father doesn't want you to live with regret, to live with the life of, man, I've messed up here. I made a mistake here. I wish I had done this. I mean, there's plenty of things that I wished I had done. I wished I had set up a savings account when I was 20 years old. I wish I hadn't spent my money on everything. How many of you can identify with that? But being sorry about that and regretting that doesn't put money in my account. It don't change my financial picture. So what I can do is I can start looking towards, Father, I thank you that you supply all of my needs according to your riches and glory. Father, I thank you that even though I maybe wasn't wise in how I handled my money, that from this day forward, if I'm led by the Holy Ghost, if I steward what you have over, you know, with me. And because of that, and that's what we've decided to do, God has blessed us and we have increased more and more. And we're just not worried about it because, you know, you can get to 65 to a retirement age or whatever that is. And do you know that at 65 or at 70 years old, that God doesn't stop taking care of his children? Wow, isn't that good news? And so we can live a life of faith. We can live a life of trust. We can live a life of saying, God, I'm ready. So let's do this. Alan, would you come on up, please, sir? Let's take a moment and let's do some things this morning. You've got to receive forgiveness. You've got to let some things go. Everything that was being sung this morning about the overwhelming love of God that reaches out to you. If you stay in a place that you're constantly worried and about, did I make mistakes? Am I doing a good job? Am I doing everything right? You know, when God gave me an opportunity 5 years ago, did I make the wrong choice there? And I'm pretty sure I did. And so I'm here because I made a wrong choice. And is it possible to ever get back? And, you know, Moses made a wrong choice. Moses, if you'll read Acts 7, talks about that when Moses went out and he was raised in the Pharaoh's palace and he killed the Egyptian and thought that his brethren, the Jews, would recognize that he was going to deliver them. See, Moses grew up with an understanding that he was going to be the deliverer of the Israel nation. Even when he was living in the palace, he understood he was going to be the deliverer of the Israel nation. And so when word got out that he killed this Egyptian, a warrant went out for his arrest. Pharaoh found out and wanted Moses killed. And so Moses ran. And Moses ran into the desert and started living just as a shepherd. And there's a moment right there where Moses could have said, man, I've ruined my destiny by killing that man. And by now being on the most wanted list, I can't show my face in Egypt anymore. And what my mother had told me growing up and what I knew was to be my destiny, I screwed it all up. And he's out there for 40 years. But God, the restorer of all things, the one who calls, and the gifts and the callings of God are without repentance. They don't change. God never changes his calling in your life. I don't care how old you are. I don't care what you've done. I don't care how many times you've made mistakes. God is calling you to what He designed you for from the very beginning. He has a destiny for you to be conformed to the image of His Son. And there's nothing that you can do that can go so bad that you'll ever stop having that destiny in your life. God shows up to Moses in a burning bush and says, I want you to go to Pharaoh. Tell him, let my people go. Moses said, I can't do it. I can't do it. I'm not skilled enough. I can't speak. He came with one excuse. God says, I made you. God says, I created you. I know you better than you know yourself. I know you, child of God. God knows you. He knows what's on the inside of you. He knows what He's called you to. Who are you to tell God you can't do something? Who are you to say that you can't fulfill a destiny that He has for you? Who are you to say that you don't have the resources? Who are you to say that you've messed up? Who are you to say that I've done too much, that God can't use me? God knows you. God loves you. God's designed you to come into the place of being conformed to what His Son looks like and to experience His love and to truly experience His gifting and His calling in your life. Don't let your past hold you back. It's time to let it go. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, Father, we thank You for Your goodness. Father, thank You for Your love. Father, thank You that when we ran from You, when we made mistakes, when we hurt people, when we made wrong choices, that even in that moment, Your love still pursues. Your love still after us. You've never stepped back from us. You've always pursued us. You're always calling after us. Hey, I've got a destiny for you. Hey, step into what I predestined for you. Hey, I've made you able. Don't ever say that you can't, because it's not through your ability, but it's, Jesus says, it's my ability in you. I can do all things through Christ, who's now given me the strength.